More comedy now on 7 as Roy Mallard heads for the West Country to make another of his groundbreaking documentaries. Yes, our man who never goes anywhere without his microphone is back on BBC 7 to uncover more ordinary lives of ordinary people. Or so he claims.
Hello, and welcome to People Like Us. How much do most of us know about the daily lives of our ordinary, unsung fellow members of society? Would it really be like to be a farmer, a doctor, a soldier, a teacher, an artist, a postman? Well, it would be incredibly tiring. So in People Like Us, we'll be looking at people with just one of these jobs and following them through a typical day. Thursday. We'll be meeting real people, not actors. Though, of course, I don't mean to imply by that that real people can't act. Merely that actors aren't real people. It's just after 6:30 a.m. on a cold, wet morning in January. Most other people around here are tucked up in a warm bed. Interesting. But that's another story. Michael Barton has already been up for over half an hour. About, under an hour. About 50 minutes. Roughly. As on every other single morning of the year at this time, he's busy milking his herd of 42 Frisian cows, every one of which he knows by name.
You're talking. And you, ear tag, get in there. Come on, get in. Get in.
Coombe Farm is a typical small South Devon farm, in the sense that it's small and it's in South Devon. And at just over 5'5", so too is Michael. The Bartons have farmed here for over two generations. Four, in fact. And there seems never to have been any question that Michael would carry on the family tradition.
I always knew that one day I'd take over the farm.
As a young boy, didn't you ever want to leave home and do something different? See some of the world?
I used to go to Exeter regularly.
Well, if you'd been born into a different family, a non-farming family, what do you think would have happened?
Oh, I think Mother would have been bloody furious if you found out. Bloody furious.
Yes.
The milking done for another day, it's back to the farmhouse with the farm's trusty collie, Bones, for breakfast in the large stone-floored kitchen. Michael has been married to Jane for 25 years, but they haven't spoken for the last five since they ran out of things to say to each other.
I got up one morning, and I couldn't think nothing to say to her like. And her never noticed, so I was just carrying on like it. Yeah. I never could think of nothing to save me. Oh, it's been a hell of a lot better since I stopped.
Really?
Oh, I haven't had a single argument in 5 years.
And how does Jane feel about this?
I don't know. Never says.
Outside, it's light now, and it's very dark. Well, anyway, Michael's first job after breakfast is to discuss the day's work with Simon, the farm's single full-time farm labourer. Simon has been at Coombe Farm all his life. At the end of the Second World War, Michael's father employed Simon as an eager, fresh-faced youngster. When Michael took over the farm 10 years ago, he sensibly decided to employ him as an arthritic, cantankerous old duffer, a role which he is able to fulfil very well.
Bloody rain. Never bloody stops.
I better catch straight in wieners this morning, son.
No bloody good catch straight in wieners where it's raining, is it?
I just can't let it much longer.
Never catch straight in wieners where it's wet.
And this afternoon I can finish that fencing up top field.
Must leave the bloody wieners till it's dry.
And it can feed up before it goes dark.
Bloody rubbish. Catch straight in bloody thing in bloody January.
The time might not be that far away when Simon ceases to be an asset to the farm and begins to be a liability. And this will present Michael with a complicated and delicate human problem, and he's already begun to think about how to approach it.
Sack the bugger.
Really? What, after 42 years of loyal service?
Yep.
I would have thought that would be a very difficult thing for you to do.
No.
Have you thought about how you might be able to cushion the blow?
Probably have a few beers first, like, you know.
If you talk to most farmers in the country, it'll take you a hell of a long time, but even if you talk to just a few of them, they will tell you that there's no such thing in farming as a day which goes according to plan. Now, the first of the unforeseen alterations to today's schedule has just arrived in the shape of Jeff Adams, the vet, and it's not even 10 o'clock. In fact, it's 9:15. Bones is clearly pleased to see him.
Hello there! I don't know you, do I? No, I meant him.
Hello, Roy Mallard, people like us.
No, never heard of you. You haven't seen Michael around, have you?
I think he's in there castrating some pigs.
What, in January? Must be bloody mad. And it's raining.
The vet's day, too, isn't going according to plan. Following the cancellation of a call-out, he suddenly got an hour free, so he's come to castrate some bullocks. A problem for Michael, because he doesn't want any bullocks castrating. Jeff's been coming to Coombe Farm as a vet for the last 10 years, except for 1 year when he was going through some personal problems and came as a North American Indian. What changes has he seen in the farming way of life during this time? I wondered.
Well, I think that as a vet, I'm able to give much more help to Michael than I was able to give to his father.
Why is that?
Well, his father was a miserable old sod.
Yeah.
He hated me.
I see. But isn't it true that there is a paradox at the heart of your job, and indeed everywhere in farming?
Well, again, you see, there used to be. But these days, with careful vaccination, it's very, very rare indeed.
What?
There was a case a few years back of a farmer near Newton Abbot who thought he might have a paradox in his sheep.
No,
it turned out that they'd been eating early clover.
No, what I meant was that on the one hand, your job is dedicated to the health and well-being of animals, but on the other hand, all the animals that you spend your time treating end up dead anyway.
Yes, okay. I did have some bad luck in the early part of my career. But I mean, since...
No, I mean that all animals on all farms are bred to be slaughtered. Doesn't that put you in a rather odd position professionally?
Oh, I see. Well, I think I take a philosophical view of things.
Why, though?
Well, I think I probably had a reasonably secure childhood. You see, my point is that Pigs, yes. Those pigs over there have absolutely no idea about if, when, or how they're going to die. I mean, you might as well say that if I was a doctor and you were ill, there'd be no point in me treating you because you'll eventually die anyway.
But that's different, isn't it? Human beings aren't bred to die.
Well, James Dean was.
Yes, but I mean, in general, human beings aren't put here simply to die, are they?
No. What are we put here for, then?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Christ.
Blimey.
So, you've never been tempted by the idea of farming yourself?
Well, I was very keen. Yeah, very keen on being a farmer as a small boy. But then, after a few years, I wasn't a small boy anymore, so it was too late.
Because you sometimes hear it said that a lot of vets are really frustrated farmers. Is that true, do you think?
Oh, no, not at all. The thing is, you see, as a vet, I can go home at the end of the day and I can completely forget about what I do for a living, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
It can make the next morning a bit hairy, of course. And I've been arrested once or twice. But it's something that a farmer, you see, can never do. I mean, he's tied to his farm, isn't he? 24 hours a day.
Yes.
And he's got to be prepared for constant demands on his attention.
Right, yes, it is. It's a bit like having a baby, really.
Yes, it is. With the one exception that there's no danger of having a farm if you get drunk after a party.
No. But otherwise... But,
yeah, otherwise, yes. I mean, someone like Michael, you see, I mean, he can never leave the farm. But not for a moment without worrying about those,
cows.
Yeah, those cows over there.
You're suggesting that farming is a great deal harder than it perhaps looks.
Yes, I know that's what I'm suggesting. What are those things over there, then?
They're sheep.
Oh, yes.
It's 11 o'clock now. Michael and I were standing looking out at the collection of old stone barns brooding silently against the Devon rain. Then we began to talk to each other.
Of course, do you get a lot of money in this radio line, then? Far away.
You were brought up on this farm as a child, weren't you?
Well, how else could I have been brought up?
Yes, what I mean is it must have been very different in those days.
Oh, yeah, if my father could see it today, he'd turn in his grave, he would.
Well, why is that?
Well, he's dead.
Are you trying to make a fool of me? I'm just trying to find out how, in what ways,
The farm has changed.
Oh, well, I can remember a time when I used to have four men working on a farm full time.
Is it that's because there was so much more physical work to be done, I suppose?
No, not really. It's just they were bloody lazy. I just got rid of them when I found out.
Look, how can I put this? Can you remember the farm without a tractor?
Oh, yeah, I got good memory. I don't need a tractor.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Now, wait a second. Let's start again.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, right. Well, fire away.
Can we shut those chickens up? I'm sorry. Some people have said that farming today is a lonely life compared to years ago. Presumably, for you, though, it still makes good sense to spend your days farming.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. You can't do it at night, see? It's too bloody dark.
Oh, God, it's hopeless.
Yeah, they've also got monstrous headlights on a tractor these days, my monstrous.
I suppose farming is just something that gets into your bones. Of course, you've got two children.
Yeah, I know.
Is it your hope that one of them will take over the running of the farm one day?
Which one?
Well, I don't know that. But it's interesting, I think, that you chose to send your daughter away to Cheltenham for her education. Why was that?
Because there's a bloody great school there.
Yes, but why spend money on private education?
Well, I won't let you in unless you do.
The two children in question, Neil and Maureen, now lead radically different lives from those of their parents. Neil, the younger, was sent to Yeovil to study at agricultural college, only to find that there wasn't an agricultural college at Yeovil. So instead he joined the RAF and has spent the last 4 years living and working as a navigator in Oslo, although his posting was to the Cayman Islands. Maureen, the elder, discovered a love of dance at Cheltenham and, after a few difficult years back in Devon as a New Age school crossing attendant, has now achieved her ambition and is currently touring with the London Contemporary Dance Company. And it's on Maureen that Michael Barton's hopes of continuing the family farming tradition at Coombe Farm are pinned. And as luck would have it, London Contemporary Dance were appearing at Plymouth Theatre Royal when we were recording this programme.
So, are you sure this is a convenient place?
Yes.
Perhaps if we just come over here and we won't be interrupting anybody. So, life on the farm, is that still appeal to you?
No. I don't really see myself going back.
No.
Not now.
Right.
Really not. See, I just don't think farming could offer me what modern dance offers me.
Such as?
Well, the emotional intensity, the freedom of expression, the costumes.
Yes, but your family has farmed Coombe Farm for 90 of the last 100 years.
90 of the last 200 years.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise that. So, isn't there some part of you that wants to carry on that family tradition?
Even as a child, I was never completely, happy being brought up on the farm. I think, in lots of ways, I was made to feel that I was in some way, odd or something.
Really?
But going away to school changed all that completely.
You felt you fitted in?
No, I realised quickly that I actually was pretty odd, and that's when I knew I'd never go back to the farm. You look as if you might have done a bit of dancing yourself for one time.
Well, funnily enough... that's the general idea.
Gosh, that's extraordinary.
Yes, of course it's difficult to do it in ordinary trousers. But, anyway, enough about me. Are your parents important to you?
I can't remember.
Well, you don't feel that perhaps you owe them something after they've worked so hard to send you away to school?
That's right, I don't. I remember now.
Do you look down on your father for what he's done?
Why, what's he done now?
No, I mean farming.
Oh, I see. Oh. No, of course not. It's just that he was put on this earth to do one thing, and that's to farm.
And what about your mother?
Okay, two things.
Back at the farm, it's almost time for lunch. After a hard morning's castrating, Michael and Simon are on their way back down to the yard, where the aroma of hearty, home-cooked pasties beckons from the kitchen. They've already been up for almost the length of an ordinary working day, and with rain threatening, they now face the prospect of a long afternoon in the open, mending the fence in the top field.
bugger.
And fixing the brakes on the tractor. So, lunchtime comes as a much-needed break for weary bones. But for Michael, there'll be little chance of genuine relaxation, because Geraldine Wills, the farm's accountant, is coming for a working lunch.
So, what's it look like then?
Well, it's a pasty, isn't it?
No, the money and that.
Oh, well, I'm afraid it doesn't look good, Michael.
Huh?
It doesn't look good. Unless we get some celestial intervention between now and the end of the financial year, I think there's going to be real difficulty meeting the interest payments on the capital borrowing alone.
Well, it's better apply for some of this bloody celestial intervention than Anna's. Another set of bloody forms, I reckon.
It's becoming apparent that this is more than just a routine visit for Geraldine.
I'm afraid we've already applied for everything we can apply for. This is more than just a routine visit for me.
Well, you don't think I'll be seeing a profit this year, then?
Well, of course, you can see whoever you like, Michael, but I really think the time might have come to consider generating some money through disposal of a capital asset.
Simon?
No, I was thinking of a fixed asset.
Well, I could get it fixed.
No, I don't think you quite grasp what I'm trying to say.
Why not?
Well, I think you're probably quite slow on the uptake.
What do you mean by that?
What I'm suggesting to you is that it might be time to consider a substantial change to the way in which you look at the farm.
Aye?
I don't think there's much more scope for small-scale economies. You've already cut a lot of expenses back to the bare bones. So, we're left really with the prospect of selling off some of the land itself.
It's a very difficult moment for Michael. The moment that most farmers dread.
Sorry, do you mind?
Sorry.
Look, it won't be long before Simon's too old to carry on working.
Mm.
And when that happens, you'll have to make a decision.
Sack the bugger.
Yes, but when that happens, Coombe Farm will be too big for one person to run. And rather than employ a younger man at a higher wage, it might make a lot of sense to reduce your acreage and run a leaner, more efficient unit.
Well, how much land would I have to sell?
Well, that's your decision, of course, but let me see. A 400-acre farm at present. Well, to really establish a healthy financial platform, I'd say we're talking about disposing of as many as 100 acres.
Well, as many as 100, huh? Well, that's 100.
Well, all I'm suggesting is that you give the idea some consideration, Talk it over with Jane.
Who?
After lunch and thoughts of the future, it's up to the top field and the hard, physical business of fencing. It's Simon holding the sturdy wooden stakes upright, whilst Michael bangs them into the hard winter earth with a heavy iron bar.
Ow!
You bit your hand.
Hold that straight.
Anyone with romantic notions of what life on a farm is like would be well advised to be up here this afternoon, as the rain starts to sweep again along the contours of the valley side, and the afternoon light already weakens. And it's only January.
Oh, sorry, Bones.
Michael and Simon have got perhaps the worst of the winter yet to endure before the arrival of early spring changes.
Oh. He doesn't look very well, does he?
Alan Whitman has been principal of Devon's renowned Uggborough College of Agriculture for the last 8 years. He's spent his whole life in agriculture. Well, at least he will have done when he dies. I asked him what qualities people needed if they are thinking of going into farming today.
What qualities do people need if they're thinking of going into farming today?
What people often can't accept is that farming is a business, like any other business.
Well, I was going to say, your office here looks more as if it belonged to a financier than someone who's involved in the agricultural world. You know, what with the personal computer over there?
Where?
Over there.
Oh, yes. You see, farmers these days have to...
Excuse me, Alan. Have you eaten the goats this morning?
No. Carry on.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye. See, farmers these days have got to be entrepreneurs and accountants, as well as being miserable and mean.
Well, that being the case, what sort of people can farming hope to attract?
Well, interestingly enough, we've recently carried out a major survey of our intake over the past 5 years, and we were very surprised by some of the results.
Why?
Well, we weren't expecting them. See, for instance, we found that nearly 60% of our intake is from social groups A2 and B1, whilst the other 40% were from Plymouth.
And that's unusual.
See, we also discovered that 44% of our students come from a family already involved in farming.
Really?
Yes, the Luscombes from near Totnes.
What about the number of males in relation to the number of females?
Well, that does go on. Yes, but there's not much we can do about it. You see, we found that of the 72% of our students who drove clapped-out old minis with young farmers do it in their willy stickers in the back window, a staggering 84% of them did.
Well, no wonder they were staggering.
The other 60% had badly misunderstood the sticker and had had to buy new wellies.
Sorry, Alan, I can't see the silage anywhere, have you?
No, sorry.
Okay. Back at Coombe Farm, the light is fading as Michael, Simon and Bones make their way back down to the farm, the fencing completed. It's coming up to 4:30, and ahead of them lies the evening milking, a final feed for the cattle and pigs, and some sheep to castrate if there's time.
Bugger. Do you think you'll still be doing this in 10 years' time?
Well, I hope not. I've got to get down to pub at 8:30. That's got a dance match.
Have you ever imagined yourself doing anything other than farming?
Sometimes I imagine I'm being massaged by this Amazon with big thighs and monstrous knots.
So, as the rain closes in on another Devon evening, we find ourselves pondering this irony. We live in a society which lionizes its bright young entrepreneurs, its media personalities, its dentists. But where would we be without our farmers?
Point the usual, Barry.
What do I usually have? I can't remember.
No, I can't.
Oh, so I'll have something different, man.
Ah, just as well, innit? Yep.
By 8:00, it could be the middle of the night, if it wasn't 8:00. A blanket of dankness and coldness has fallen around us. Well, actually, it's been dank and cold all day. It's a blanket of darkness which has fallen around us. Yeah, anyway, the bar of the pig's nose, though, boasts a massive, roaring darts match, thank goodness, and a fiercely contested open fire. No, hang on a minute.
Anybody waiting?
Yes, thanks. What sort of...
Better, please, Les. I'll have a pint this time.
You had a pint last time.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying I'll have a pint this time as well.
If anyone knows the tight-knit local community well, it's Edgar and Liz Hine, who have run the Pig's Nose in Woodley for 20 years. In fact, though, everyone knows the local community well. That's why it's tight-knit.
Of course, years ago, like most of the people in this club would have been involved in farming.
What are they involved in today?
Darts.
Right. But, I mean, what do most of them do for jobs?
Well, Barry over there, he's an electrician and he does building light in his spare time.
Les is a driver. You know, if you're good than that.
Yeah, and he does building light in his spare time.
Nice.
Dennis, he's a building light.
Nice.
Right, so, I mean...
And he does building light in his spare time, too.
That's right.
And do you?
And Tony, he works for the council, you know, on the roads and
no, he doesn't. He's reading modern European literature at Exeter University.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, but do you still...
He does building work in his spare time too.
He does that.
Yes, right. So, I mean, do you still think of this as a farming community?
Oh, yes. I mean, for a start, on this plot of land here, we're surrounded by farmland on all three sides.
Yes, but you've been on all four sides?
No, we've only got the three sides.
I see.
Now, Bill Kurzweil at the Queen's Head over at Modbury, he's surrounded on seven sides.
He's there he is.
Look, perhaps I could... I mean, what kind of bitters...
2 points of 5x, please, Liz, if you got a moment.
Do you need new glasses?
Sorry, 2 points of 4x.
2 points of 4x.
With the darts match reaching a tense and interesting phase in the corner...
I'm going to go now.
I was keen to ask Edgar and Liz what they remembered about Michael and his family 20 years ago. I was also keen to ask them whether they could serve me some kind of a drink, even if it was only a small glass of tap water or anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember old Mr. Barton very well. He used to sit in that seat over there with old Fred Brooking.
Old Fred Brooking used to get very annoyed about that.
Yeah, well, it did look a bit peculiar, like everyone used to say so.
Old Mr. Barton used to come in every Thursday night, didn't he? Regular as clock.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And every other night.
Yeah. That's right. That's his picture on the wall, look.
Really? Where?
There.
But it looks to me like, well, I mean, it's a pig, isn't it?
That's right, yes. It's his picture of a pig. He was very fond of that picture, he was.
And the pig.
That's right, yeah. Old Fred Brooking used to reckon that's why he took a picture of it.
Yes, right. What I wanted to ask, do you remember Michael Barton back in those days?
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh.
Now, Michael, he used to sit at the bar where you're sitting, except he used to have a drink with him.
Really?
Yes, and he used to talk for hours and hours and hours about the plans he'd made for the farm when he took it over.
Like most farmers' sons, I expect.
Well, yeah, except his plan was to keep it exactly the same. Boring as hell.
Yes.
Anyone waiting?
Right, look.
If people think that being a vet's hard, It's nothing compared to being a farmer.
People don't actually think that being a vet is hard, do they?
Oh. Those your best shoes?
No.
Oh.
Why? Oh.
Today's ultra-efficient, high-tech farming industry is operated by a relatively small number of perhaps relatively lonely people. A mere skeleton of the... A mere skeleton of the workforce which it nurtured only 100 years ago.
The reality of farming is very different from the image we tend to get of it from things like, that thing on... What's it on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 o'clock?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what's it called? You didn't see it on Tuesday, did you?
No, I'm afraid I don't watch it.
No, neither do I. It's rubbish. What's that one with the blonde hair called?
Kathy.
Yes, that's right.
Perhaps there was a time when we were all much closer to the seasons and rhythms of the natural world, which are still the farmer's reference points. Many of us may have forgotten that these rhythms can be as punishing as they can be enriching. Join us again next week on People Like Us, when once again, people like us will be looking at some more people like us.
Roy Mallard would like to give a special thank you to Chris Langham and also to Christian Rodsker, Dan Strauss, Alice Arnold, Kim Wall, Robert Bathurst, Kay Stonham and Cyril Jenkins. The programme was written by John Morton and produced by Paul Schlesinger.
Sometimes in the summer I gets up in the morning light and tis sunny and cool. There ain't a cloud in the sky, but the whole valley's full of mist. Right down to the river, like. Well, you can hear the river down there, mind, but you can't see nothing except this huge carpet of pure white mist just hanging there in the valley. And I think to myself, bloody hell, it's misty.
Bugger.
Oh, the romance of life in the countryside. Well, no crowing cockerels or barking dogs to interrupt proceedings next week, but a right racket all the same when Roy disrupts the school day in his attempts to find out about life as a headmaster.